Prem Shikha Ho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopina Shaima Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai Vrinda Vindama Ki Jai Mathura Dhamma Ki Jai Navadvip Mayapur Dhamma Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Jai Gangamaya Jamuna Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premananda. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Devi. Gauravani Charani Nivasasa Sindhavati Paskachari Sattari. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So it's July 12th, 2016 in Zagreb, Croatia. And we're reading from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16. The divine and demoniac natures, text 19. Tanaham dvishata kuran.
Tanaham dvishata kuran.
Samsareshu naradaman.
Samsareshu naradaman.
Shipham yajashrama
suban.
Asurisve sayonishu.
Please chant. Tani.
Those.
Aham.
I.
Dvishataha.
Envious.
Kuran.
Mischievous.
Samsareshu.
Into the ocean of material existence.
Nara Adaman, the lowest of mankind.
Shipami,
I put
Ajashram,
forever.
Ashuban,
inauspicious.
Asurishu,
demoniac.
Eva,
certainly.
Yonishu,
into the wombs.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada.
Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, I perpetually cast into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. Purport. In this verse, it is clearly indicated that the placing of a particular individual soul in a particular body is the prerogative of the supreme will. The demoniac person may not agree to accept the supremacy of the Lord, and it is a fact that he may act according to his own whims. But his next birth will depend upon the decision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not on himself. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, it is stated that an individual soul, after his death, is put into the womb of a mother where he gets a particular type of body under the supervision of superior power. Therefore, in the material existence, we find so many species of life, animals, insects, men, and so on. All are arranged by the superior power. They are not accidental. As for the demoniac, it is clearly said here that they are perpetually put into the wombs of demons, and thus they continue to be envious, the lowest of mankind. Such demoniac species of men are held to be always full of lust, always violent and hateful, and always unclean. The many kinds of hunters in the jungle are considered to belong to the demoniac species of life. Tanaham dvishata kuran. Samsareshu naradamam shipham yajashrama shubham asurisvesha yonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, I perpetually cast into the ocean of material existence unto various demoniac species of life. So we look around and we see. Yes, please.
At least
we can get some breeze of the very hot air. At least it'd be moving. So we may wonder why there are so many species of life. And the modern scientists cannot answer this question. They say there are different species because they adapt to their environment. But we see even in the same environment, there are so many species. Even at right outside, there are so many different kinds of trees and so many different kinds of insects, so many different kinds of animals in the same environment. So it's not that only one kind of tree or one kind of animal is uniquely situated, uniquely able to work in that environment. The real reason there are so many species is to accommodate the desires of the living entities. So Krishna says, Zayatamam prapajante tamstajayabha pajamyaham. And he says, Nitya nityanam, chaitanas chaitanam, eko bahunam yo vidadati kama. That Krishna is the one eternal among many eternals, and that he has been fulfilling the desires of all the living entities from the beginning of time. So one way that he fills the desires of the conditioned souls is to give us a body and a situation that perfectly fits our own mentality. Now, of course, that's a little difficult to accept because we tend not to exactly like our body. Isn't that a fact? Anybody here completely like their body? Anybody think, oh, my body is perfect? No? And yet this body is a gross expression of our subtle desires and our subtle actions. So what this means is that we are not aware of the effects of our own desires. We don't know what it means. We think, I have such and such desire, and it means something, but in the reality it means something else. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada makes the point very strongly in this purport that the body we get is up to the control of God. It is not up to us. Although really it is up to us because we are getting the body according to our desire. But you cannot say, well, I enjoy hurting others, but I want a beautiful body. It doesn't work like that. If you enjoy hurting others, you will get a body where you can hurt others. And the kind of bodies that hurt others are not usually very pleasant bodies. Do everybody follow this point? No? If you have some desire to do evil, then you will get a body suitable for doing evil. If you say, I want to do evil, but yet I want a body that is all good, it's actually incompatible. But we don't understand the result of our own desires. Therefore, we can say the body is awarded by God. It's not our choice, although on another level, it is our choice. Does everyone understand this relationship? I'm making a choice. I'm saying I want to enjoy in a particular way. I want to act in a particular way. So God gives me a body to act in that way. And I might say, well, I want to act in that way, but in a different kind of body. But that really, it's not a compatible thing. If you say, I want a demigod body, but I want to go around inflicting harm on others, it's not that demigod body isn't suited for that purpose. Of course, we have some demons who try to do that. Like Hiranyakashipu. He tried to take the post of a demigod and keep his envious and harmful mentality. But the Lord didn't allow that situation to last very long because it's incompatible. So let's look here at the description of the demoniac. There's two words here that are particularly important. Dvishataha and Kurran. So Dvishataha means envious. And of course we have this Dwip, which means very much Chu, a separatist and mischievous. So let's look at these two things. What does it mean to be envious? So practically speaking, any of us who are in the material world, we can understand that we are here because we have some amount of envy. If we had no envy, we wouldn't have a material body at all. But what does envy mean? Envy means that I take delight in others' unhappiness. I don't want anyone to have anything greater than me. and maybe not even equal. Somebody can get honor as long as I get more. Somebody can get money as long as I get more. Somebody can have beauty as long as I get more, and so forth and so on. Even in spiritual life, we may feel, you know, it's okay for other people to become spiritually advanced as long as they don't become more advanced than me. We even become envious of people who are advanced or people who are very strict. Right? And we try to somehow take it away from them. If we can't take it away from them literally, then we try to take it away from them by criticism. Just like Srila Prabhupada's guru would say, if you tell some people, oh, your childhood friend has become a high court judge, if they're envious, they will say, no, 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 that's not possible. I remember him when he was a boy. How could he be a high court judge? No, no, I saw him in the court sitting on the bench. Really? Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. Well, they must not be paying him. So if we say, oh, somebody is very strict, you know, they're always chanting their rounds, they're following the principles, they're giving everything to Krishna. Oh, they must have a dirty heart. They must be doing it just to impress others. You understand? Somehow we try to take it away from them. Or they have this fault or that fault. We rejoice to see the suffering, especially of people who are very rich, very famous, very beautiful. Such is what feeds a lot of the modern gossip and news, isn't it? They like to write about very opulent and powerful people and their problems. And the people delight in it. Oh, this person's marriage didn't work. This person is a drug addict. This person lost all their money. And we become very happy. Basically, an envious mentality is, if someone is higher than me, I want to pull them down. When I'm with someone equal to me, I want to brag. I want to glorify myself and push myself higher. When someone is lower than me, I want to exploit them and keep them down. We see this also. If rich people try to exploit poor, intelligent people, try to exploit people who are not so intelligent, educated people try to exploit people who are not so educated, men try to exploit women, and so forth and so on. Yes? Do we see this? People with better weapons, they try to exploit people who don't have as good weapons. So this is all envy. And the basic principle of envy is that I wish harm to others. Or at least I don't wish them well. I don't want anyone to exceed me. Then the next thing, mischievous, is I actually do harm to others. So if you're envious, you wish harm to others, but you might not do anything about it. You understand what I'm saying? So you might think, oh, this person, they're not really so great. But if you're mischievous, you tell others, oh, they're not really so great. You try to ruin their reputation. You try to ruin their job. Does this make sense to everyone? Do you understand? Envious is the feeling inside. Mischievous is you take action based on that feeling. Because I may think, oh, why are they getting that and not me? Why do they have more than me? But it just may be a feeling I have inside. Maybe it comes out a little in my speech. But mischievous, I actually try to take it from them. I try to harm them in some way. So, when they become harmed, then if I'm mischievous, I become very happy. Oh, I have harmed them. So enviousness, I'm happy when they're harmed. Mischievous, I'm happy when I harm them, when I am the instrument of harm for them. So this is the most basic definition of evil. That I find pleasure in being the instrument of harm to somebody else. Would you agree that's a good definition of evil? So if I think, oh, that person, why do they have so much money? I worked hard my whole life. Why don't I have as much money? So that's envy. Mischievous is I steal their money. And then I become very happy. Oh, I'm so clever that I could steal their money. But this comes in more subtle ways. It comes if we just, we defeat somebody philosophically and we think, yes, now they are groveling. You understand there? In defeat, I've defeated them in some way. I've shown that I'm better than them. Well, we see this phenomenon in religious preachers all over the world. Right? My religion is better than yours, and you know, you are going to hell. And if the other person is defeated, we feel very happy. Oh yes, I'm so much better than they are. So this is, it is the definition of evil. Of course, some people are very extreme. They take pleasure in torturing others and, you know, burning somebody's house and going and stealing their money or raping them or killing people. But we may think, well, I'm not a murderer, I'm not an arsonist, I'm not a rapist, I'm not a thief, so therefore I'm a very good person. But if we have this same tendency to delight in being the cause of harm to others, or even just delight in seeing somebody has something less than we do, then we have the same kind of mentality. So those who have this mentality, Krishna says, I put them into species, I put them into forms of bodies where they are allowed to act on this mentality. And Prabhupada talks about uncivilized persons, hunters in the jungle. Of course, today, in our modern society, we don't want to leave anybody as a hunter in the jungle. So we go to the tribes and we pull them into civilization. Isn't that a fact? It doesn't work very well, just frankly. Most of the tribal people that we have tried to integrate into civilized society don't integrate very well. Many of them become addicted to drugs and alcohol. They become very depressed when their basic life is taken away from them. Because Krishna has allotted to people, okay, you can live like that in the jungle. Don't disturb civilized persons, and you can just hunt the animals in the jungle and lead a simple life. We're better off to let such people live their lives and work through their material desires. Of course, one can also get put into lower than human beings. And we see among the animal and the plant species many forms of body in which one has permission to be envious. So there are Jai Shishi Gonitai, Jai Giri Raj Maharaj. Just like there are plants that if you touch the plant, you will get a rash on your body. Yes? In America, we have poison ivy, poison oak, poison sumac. If you touch these plants, so you will have itchy and rash on your body for a long time. And I was reading about one tree, that this tree is so poisonous that if you even stand near the tree, that you will get respiratory, breathing problems. And if you ingest any part of the tree, it can kill you. If someone is burning the tree, you can die from inhaling the smoke. So this is particularly envious, and just causing harm to people for no reason. You understand? You know, I just touch you and you want to make me have itching for 3 weeks. So this is extreme envy. Or some poisonous creatures also. You know, the creatures that spread disease. So the creature that kills the most humans every year is the mosquito. Hardly anybody dies from sharks or, you know, rhinoceros, even from other humans. Other humans don't kill nearly as many humans as are killed by mosquitoes. But you're allowed. The jiva in the mosquito body is allowed to inflict harm on others. They're not karmically responsible for that. As so many living entities, the snakes that will bite, you're just walking past them, you're not doing anything to them, and they'll bite you. So there's all these different species, and of course the Bhagavatam talks about that there are species, human-like species on other planets that are also demoniac, where they have sometimes great powers, great mystic powers, but they have very, very ugly bodies. And they engage in very demoniac and envious things. So Krishna is so kind that he provides a place for everyone. He's very, very kind. The concept among many of the world religions that if you don't surrender to God, you simply burn in a lake of fire forever is not the concept we find in the Vedas. So Krishna is here, he gives facility. If you're envious and mischievous, then you can get a body where you can be envious and mischievous. You can act like that. And Krishna is saying here, this will happen again and again. Ajashram, ja means birth. Birth after birth after birth. And you can say forever. I mean, Prabhupada talks about forever in the purport. And also in the next verse, it appears that those who are envious and mischievous have to stay there forever. In the next verse, Prabhupada says they can be free if the Lord kills them. But of course, at any point, any jiva is free to change their mentality. It's not that Krishna is forcing anyone to be envious or mischievous. We always have the option. Of course, when you're in a mosquito body, it's a little difficult to change your mentality. If you're in the body of a poisonous tree, it's a little difficult to change your mentality. But even these demoniac, these jivas with this demoniac desires, they get opportunities also to be in the human form. And in the human form, again, they are given over and over again in the cycle of birth and death. Again, they are given a chance to reform themselves. So we may not understand the effects of our own actions. We do not really fully comprehend what we are doing. You know, we like to ask Krishna, why do I have this particular problem? You know, why do I have this particular disease or this particular financial problem, this particular relationship problem? But we don't really understand that all of these things are due to our own desires. That Krishna is giving us exactly the right body and exactly the right situation according to how we want to be. It's just that we're very foolish. We don't understand. If I want to be like that, then I will get a situation that is not very nice. So these verses here, of course, are not really written for those persons who are evil, because the persons who are evil are not usually reading the Bhagavad Gita. Maybe sometimes. They're really written for us. Why is Krishna telling Arjuna this? So this is really for us, that we should be very, very careful not to cultivate envy and not to cultivate mischievousness. And my dear friends, we can do this even in the name of spirituality. It is entirely possible. Such is explained in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, where Lord Kapila says, the separatists, you see this dui again, thinking that my interests are separate from somebody else's. That the separatists, they're worshipping the Lord, but they're worshipping the Lord in the mode of ignorance. And Lord Kapiladev says that the offering of such a person, it's like if you're offering into a fire sacrifice, but instead of putting your offering of grains into the fire, you're putting your offering into ashes. It's not very effective. Of course, Jesus said something similar. He says, if you have a quarrel with your brother and you're going to the church to make an offering, he says, put down your offering, go settle your quarrel with your brother, and then you can come back and make your offering. So if we have envy and a mischievous attitude towards other living entities, it's very, very difficult to establish our relationship with Krishna. It just doesn't work very well. If you have a family with several children and the children are hurting each other and hitting each other, then the parents are not so happy with that. It's hard to say, well, mommy and daddy, I want to have love for you, but I want to beat up my brothers and sisters. It doesn't really work. So we find throughout the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam Chaitanya Charitamrita, throughout the Shastra, we are told that we must be loving and kind and merciful to other living entities. And this doesn't just mean being a vegetarian. It means being kind to everyone. means being kind to the plants. It certainly means being kind to the other humans. And to see that my happiness is very much connected to the happiness of everyone. It's not that my happiness is independent from others. So if we would like to get a good body next time, we need to do good for others. It's just a basic principle. If you want wealth, you have to give in charity. If you want beauty, do beautiful things. You know, this is how it works. This is really how it works. If you want fame, honor others. Whatever one wants to get, one should give to others. And if we want to revive our original spiritual body, which is the best body, much, much, much better than some nice human body on this planet or even on some demigod body, then we have to be only absorbed in real love without a trace of envy. Of course, that is not possible entirely by our own efforts. We need mercy and kindness to remove the influence of the modes of material nature. But that is done by our own desire to do so, by our own rejection, deep rejection of this envy and malice in our own heart. So questions, comments, discussions? Yes, Prabhupada.
Sure, Prabhupada in one book said that there are two reasons why we are fall from the spiritual world. One is envy, and another one is desire to live separately from Krishna.
Mm.
Maybe you can elaborate a little bit.
Well, those are very related. I mean, also Prabhupada sometimes would say that we've come here just like a rich person who usually eats very rich food may want to sometimes taste simple food. So you can say it's envy because it's a desire to try to enjoy without going through Krishna, which is not possible. So it's a kind of envy. Why can I only enjoy through Krishna? Why does it have to be through him? Why can't it be on my own? That is the basic desire. That's our most essential material desire. I want to try to be happy without my happiness going through the Lord.
I have a question. How to see the consequences of our behavior?
How to see the consequences of our behavior? We were speaking about this at the camp. And there's a number of wonderful verses in the Bhagavatam in this regard. That Krishna will show us two things. He will show us the actual form of our material desires. It's written, the naked form of our material desires. In other words, Krishna will show us what's really happening. He'll remove this veil of illusion so we can see, what am I really wanting and what is the consequence of that? And at the same time, he will show us the true color of our relationship with him. So side by side, Krishna will show us truth and illusion. So how is it that we get him to do that? That is the whole process of bhakti is meant for that purpose. That particularly chanting the holy name, hearing the shastra, associating with the devotees, worshipping the deity. If we do that with a sincere desire to see the truth, not as a ritual, not as a religion, you understand? And then Krishna will show us. We cannot see that ourselves. Because if we were to see that very clearly, it would be very difficult. It is very difficult, if you see that clearly, to stay in illusion. So that is only shown to people who are interested in getting out of illusion. My youngest son worked for a while with Bhakti Chiruswami and the devotees making a video about Srila Prabhupada's life. And he said what surprised him the most is when in the video two people are talking to each other They didn't usually film them at the same time. And he was very surprised. So when you see that, it's very difficult to enjoy the movie. You understand? No?
Sorry?
If you understand what is happening in the filming, it is very difficult to enjoy the movie. Because you know, it looks like these two people are talking to each other, but the reality is each one is talking to an empty room. And then you lose your emotional absorption in the story because you see it's just fake. You follow? I mean, I remember when I was 10, I took a visit to Hollywood and I went on the set of a TV show that I would watch a lot. And I saw that on TV it looked like they were in a house, it looked like they were going up and down stairs, but it wasn't really a house. It was just a false set. And after I visited the set, I could never enjoy the TV show so much. Because when they would walk up the stairs, I would understand, they're not really going up anywhere. There's nothing there. So if we want to enjoy the material nature, Krishna will not show us what is the real form of our desires and what is the real result of our desires. Because when we see that, it's very difficult to continue in illusion. It's possible, if you're very determined, but it's quite difficult. And once you see the real color of our relationship with Krishna, it is also very difficult to continue in illusion. You know, what did my mother used to sing a song, it's hard to keep them down on the farm after they've gone to Paris. After you've tasted fresh fruit right off the tree, it's very hard to buy the things in the grocery store. I used to have my own garden and I would grow my own vegetables and fruits. You taste the vegetables right out of the garden, and very difficult. So when Krishna shows us these two things, he shows us what is the actual form of illusion. He removes the veil of Maya. Here is what Maya really is. And he shows you spiritual life. When he shows you those things, then it's very easy to choose rightly. But he will only show them if you really want to see them. So if you're saying, yes, Krishna, yes, Krishna, yes, but I don't really want to know, then he won't show you. So I see it's primarily a deep desire to know truth. And as Krishna explains in the 12th chapter, verse 9, the whole purpose of our engagement of bhakti is to awaken that deep desire to see things as they are. Which definitely spoils your material life. No question about it, it does. So if you don't want, therefore Rupa Goswami says, if you don't want, he said, don't go see Govinda. You know that verse? He says, don't go see Govinda playing his flute by the bank of the Yamuna, because then you won't be able to be an illusion anymore. It won't work. Or like, you know, you're watching a magician, but you know all the tricks. You understand? And then it's like, oh, it's not very special anymore. So if you want Krishna to show you what are the real tricks, you have to be willing to not want to enjoy the magic show anymore. Of course, you will still enjoy the magic show as Krishna's energy. In fact, you will enjoy the magic show much better than the materialist, because you will be enjoying it in relationship to Krishna, but you will not be able to enjoy it selfishly. The devotees very much enjoy the material world. Actually, the devotees are the only ones who enjoy the material world, because everywhere they're seeing their beloved Krishna. But to try to enjoy separately from Krishna, that will be spoiled. Therefore, most people don't ask for this. You understand? They may be chanting, 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 but and Krishna shows them a little bit. They go, no, 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 I don't want to see that. Like that. Anybody else? Yes.
Something to
do with this. mentioned in our Sangha what are the four steps or items to educate children.
Mm.
And also everybody.
Yes.
Please, I forgot what.
Oh.
Please repeat.
That is not really the topic of today's class, but the four most powerful ways of transmitting culture are through relationships of love and trust, through stories that demonstrate the values of the culture, through giving people meaningful service according to their propensities, and through having positive emotional experiences connected with the culture. So that's another seminar. That's like an hour, hour and a half seminar. It's online. You can find recordings. Anybody else? Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.